Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-decision episode of SCOTUScast, Copyright Suits and the Registration Requirement Edition. I'm your host, Bridget Flaherty. On March 4th, 2019, the Supreme Court decided Fourth Estate Public Benefit Corps versus WallStreet.com, a case involving a split among the courts of appeals regarding when a copyright owner may initiate a suit for infringement in federal court. Fourth Estate Public Benefit Corps is an online news organization that licenses articles to different websites but retains the copyright to those articles. WallStreet.com and Fourth Estate entered into a license agreement for a number of articles written by Fourth Estate. As part of the agreement, WallStreet.com was required to remove all Fourth Estate content from its website before canceling its account. Wall Street canceled its account, but continued to display Fourth Estate articles, and Fourth Estate filed suit for copyright infringement against WallStreet.com and its owner in federal district court. At the time Fourth Estate filed suit, it had submitted applications for the Registrar of Copyrights, but the Registrar had not yet acted upon them. WallStreet.com moved to dismiss, arguing that the Copyright Act permits an infringement suit only after the Registrar of Copyrights approves or denies an application to register the copyright at issue. The District Court agreed with the defendants and dismissed Fourth Estate's complaint without prejudice. On appeal, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit affirmed that judgment, but noted a split among the federal courts of appeals on the issue. Whether the ability to file an infringement suit turns on application by the copyright owner, the application approach, or the making a decision on the application by the Registrar of Copyrights, the registration approach. Granting certiorari, the Supreme Court unanimously affirmed the judgment of the 11th Circuit. In an opinion delivered by Justice Ginsburg, the court held that registration occurs and a copyright claimant may commence an infringement suit when the Copyright Office registers a copyright. And now, to discuss the case, we have Brian Fry, Associate Professor of Law at University of Kentucky College of Law.
On March 4, 2019, the Supreme Court decided Fourth Estate v. WallStreet.com, unanimously holding that registration of a copyright claim for the purpose of filing an infringement action occurs when the Copyright Office acts on an application, not when the application is filed. Fourth Estate Public Benefit Corporation is a news organization that publishes articles and licenses those articles to third parties. WallStreet.com is a website that publishes financial news. WallStreet.com licensed articles from Fourth Estate and published those articles on its website. The license expired, but WallStreet.com continued to publish the articles. When Fourth Estate learned that WallStreet.com was publishing the articles without a license, it filed copyright registration applications for the articles with the Copyright Office and filed a copyright infringement action against WallStreet.com in the Southern District of Florida. The District Court granted WallStreet.com's motion to dismiss on the ground that the Copyright Act permits the copyright owner of United States work to file an infringement action only if the work is registered, and registration occurs when the Copyright Office either registers or refuses to register a work. While Fourth Estate had filed registration applications, the Copyright Office had not yet acted on those applications, so the works were not yet registered, and Fourth Estate could not file an infringement action. The 11th Circuit affirmed on the same grounds, and Fourth Estate filed a petition for certiorari. The Supreme Court granted cert, because there was a circuit split on whether copyright registration occurs when the registration application is filed or when the Copyright Office acts on the application. The 5th and 9th circuits held that registration occurs when the application is filed, but the 10th and 11th circuits held that registration occurs when the Copyright Office acts on the application. The relevant section of the Copyright Act, codified at 17 U.S.C. 411A, provides that, quote, "No civil action for infringement of the copyright in any United States work shall be instituted until pre-registration or registration of the copyright claim has been made in accordance with this title." Fourth Estate argued that registration has been made when the copyright owner files a registration application, observing that the requirement is stated in the passive voice and that other sections of the Copyright Act tie registration to the acts of the copyright owner. Moreover, when the Copyright Office registers a work, registration is retroactive to the date of filing. But Fourth Estate also made policy arguments, claiming that it is unfair to force copyright owners to wait for the Copyright Office to register their works before bringing an infringement action, especially when examination often takes 6 months to a year. While copyright owners who want to bring an infringement action can request expedited examination, it costs an additional $800. Among other things, Fourth Estate observed that copyright owners cannot get injunctive relief until they can file an infringement action, creating the potential for harms that cannot be fully remediated. In addition, the registration requirement disadvantages United States copyright owners because foreign copyright owners don't have to register. WallStreet.com responded that the statutory language clearly provides that registration occurs when the Copyright Office acts on a registration application, pointing to the subsequent sentence, which provides, quote, "In any case, however, where the deposit, application, and fee required for registration have been delivered to the Copyright Office in proper form, and registration has been refused, the applicant is entitled to institute a civil action for infringement if notice thereof, with a copy of the complaint, is served on the Register of Copyrights. If registration has been refused when the Copyright Office acts, surely registration has been made when the Copyright Office acts as well. Otherwise, registration has been made when the copyright owner files a registration application, but then has not been made if the Copyright Office refuses to register the work." WallStreet.com also responded to Fourth Estate's policy arguments, observing that if the registration requirement is unfair, then Congress can change it, or the Copyright Office can make registration faster and easier. But it's not for the courts to eliminate statutory requirements. After the oral argument on January 8, 2019, it was pretty clear that WallStreet.com was going to win. While some of the justices, especially Justice Gorsuch, seemed sympathetic to Fourth Estate's position on policy grounds, all of the justices seemed to find WallStreet.com's statutory argument far more compelling. The only questions were how many votes WallStreet.com would get and whether the court would discuss any of the policy questions the case presented. The answer was all of them and not really. In a unanimous and quite brief opinion written by Justice Ginsburg, the court unsurprisingly adopted WallStreet.com's reading of the statute and held that registration occurs when the Copyright Office registers a work of authorship. The court observed that Congress had made the decision to retain the registration requirement, had rejected proposals that would have permitted copyright owners to file infringement actions as soon as they filed a registration application, and had created a pre-registration option for copyright owners who anticipated likely infringement. In addition, the court observed that copyright owners can recover retroactive damages even if they can't immediately file an action, and that while examination is slow, it does not approach the statute of limitations on infringement actions. The opinion is notable mostly because it is the rare copyright opinion written by Justice Ginsburg that doesn't favor copyright owners, and because of what it omits, any discussion of the policy goals served by registration. Specifically, if Fourth Estate's position had prevailed, there would be no reason for copyright owners to file registration applications until their work had been infringed. As a consequence, the public would be deprived of notice of copyright claims, and probably more importantly, the federal courts would be deprived of the Copyright Office's expertise in evaluating copyrightable subject matter and other issues related to registration. While the federal courts rarely consider questions of copyrightable subject matter, the Copyright Office does so all the time and now publishes opinion letters explaining its reasoning. And the opinions of the Copyright Office on this subject are helpful to the courts. In fact, Justices Ginsburg and Thomas said as much in 1991 when they both sat in the D.C. Circuit. In the case Odds On Products v. Oman, Ginsburg wrote an opinion largely deferring to the Copyright Office's determination of whether a work included copyrightable subject matter, which Thomas joined. Perhaps that led them to see the value of the Copyright Office's expertise and how it is promoted by the registration requirement? We probably shall never know.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.